This is Jean Park. My question is, when anybody comes in, and so then it starts telling me so-and-so's avatar is doing this and that, and somebody else says it, and I cannot hear then what the discussion is because my phone is giving me more information than
I want.
Well,
the alerts.
Is there any way I can turn off those alerts?
Three-finger double tap will take your speech off, and then you don't hear any of that.
Three-finger double tap will turn off my speech over part.
That's right. And three-finger triple tap is the screen. And three-finger triple tap is the screen curtain.
In Zoom, there's a settings button before you connect to the call, and you can go in there and you can change it so that you don't get those announcements, because it's nice to have your screen mirror on. That way, if you want to mute or unmute, or you can, the settings let you do a couple of important things that you may want to change. You can also change it so, like, when you connect, that you automatically have audio. Otherwise, you get that prompt every time.
In the Zoom app
settings? Yes, Zoom settings. Before you connect, there'll be a button that says settings, and you can go in there and look through the options, and you can have video. You can set it so video never comes on by default, even if the room is set to turn on video. Choose your audio, so it's always on the internet, and you can turn off those announcements. So that's real helpful.
This is June. Then I go to my Zoom settings and go to where? Alerts?
Down at the bottom, there's four tabs, and you go all the way to the right. So you go to the very right one. It says More. You double tap on that. And then in there, there's Features, Apps, and Settings. And I'm going to tap on Settings.
My computer used to come up, and my name, for some reason, would show up six times. But now I'm back to getting all of the so-and-so has joined the meeting, so-and-so has left.
I think with JAWS, there's a keystroke to stop.
There is, but then you have to go back to full speech to tell if you're muted or unmuted or whatever.
Oh, I thought it was like just to take the alerts off. It was like Control Windows S or Alt Windows S.
Yeah, in settings, you want to click on audio, and that's where almost all the settings that you want are.
I'm in Zoom, then I go down, and then I click on more, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, and then for more, I click on settings.
Yes.
Then now I'm going to audio.
Yes. So once you click on more, you're in the settings. And then right after it says settings, you don't tap on that. But to the right of it, it says meetings button. And that's the one you click in, and it says audio. So you're not clicking on audio. But once you click on meetings, so it's basically more and meetings. And now you're in the audio at this point. Most every setting that's really important is in here. This is auto connect audio. By default, it's off. Every time it's going to ask you, how do you want to connect? So if you double tap on that, you can choose either Wi-Fi, which it says Wi-Fi. That's Wi-Fi. That means it's going to connect through your internet, through your router in your house, or you can click telephone and always connect on the phone, or you can leave it off and choose each time. So then the next one, mute my microphone. By default, it's set to off. Right. And that means if you tap it, double tap it, I did to turn it on, that means you can never come in unmuted. You will consciously have to double tap the mute button before people can hear you. And that's so that you don't accidentally let people hear things that you didn't intend for them to hear. The setting she asked for is also in here. There's a lot of things in this this meeting button. So the meeting is where you want to go.
Now the Wi-Fi thing, because see, I always have to double tap on that. But then there comes a time when I don't have to. I can set that control to off, right? Or to on.
It's off by default. You can set it to Wi-Fi or phone or off. Well, you want to choose Wi-Fi. But also in here is, you got video, so you can also choose the button to make sure that your video never comes on unless you mean for it to.
Okay.
It says on, but I had it off by default, so it'll be off, and you double tap that so it's on. That means you have to consciously double tap the video button before people can see you. It's a good security safety thing.
Yes.
There's one called Touch Up My Appearance. If you turn that on, it'll try to adjust for the room lighting or so forth. Keep going. Then it says General. There it is. Show name when participants join. By default, it is on. Double tap it, and it's off. And then that will solve the exact problem that you're having, that what you asked for. Now it won't tell you as people come and go, and you can leave your voiceover on.
Make the default to not tell me the name.
Show name when participants join. By default, it is on, I guess. And so you can turn it off, and that way it won't tell you as people come and go, and then you don't have to turn off your voiceover and be bothered as people come and go or who's speaking. And
so that's like the alert.
And what about if somebody is speaking during the meeting, is that also controlling that?
It doesn't control that, but if you swipe all the way over to the far left, you will see. It'll tell you who's speaking. So if you want to know that.
Okay.
So that's handy because, sometimes you hear a voice, you don't know who it is. They don't say their name. You can swipe over to the left, and it tells you who's speaking. So those are the, there's other things, but those are the main ones. I think if you set your audio so you don't have to be bothered every time, and especially turning off that prompt, that's going to make your life much easier, make Zoom much more enjoyable for you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Well, you are very welcome. And my dog here, he's wanting my attention. He's a shepherd. I tried to teach him to be a service animal, but the only service he wants to provide is finish my meals.
No charge.
Must be good meals.
He's a dog. He's not that picky. Back in the previous discussion, you were talking about the pen friend, which is awesome. But there's also something called way around. I think the pen friend's a little easier, but the neat thing about way around is those labels are more durable. They can do temperature extremes. You can put them on things outside and they won't get damaged for the rain or snow or extreme cold. Or you can put them on freezer items and, you know, food. For me, at least, food's a lot easier to tell when it's thawed versus sometimes when it's frozen. That way you can put those labels on there and then reuse them. That's another option. It's called Way Around. I believe it's wayaround.com.
Oh, I never heard of that.
How do you make the labels?
You label them on your iPhone.
Never mind.
Actually, Judy, they do have a device that you can buy. I understand it's kind of expensive. I don't know the exact price, but they do actually have a manual device if you don't use the iPhone. It's a lot cheaper, a lot less expensive to do if you have an iPhone, but you can do it with that device.
Way around. Okay, that's an app, right? So I have to go
that's an app. Right. And they have different kinds of labels, different shapes, round, square, little buttons. So that helps you too, because the types of labels. So, you know, you might have a certain one you use for your foods, certain one for garments or whatever you're going to. I mean, people have found some very innovative ways that they use them.
I got to download something in order to print it?
No, you record it. You point it at the labels and then you tell it. You double tap a button to actually record audio. It'll be your voice saying, okay, you know, chicken or pork chops or whatever.
Does it stick on? How does it get on the thing?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. What am I doing with it?
After you've recorded it, then what do you do?
I think there's a few different ways you can. Some are adhesive, but they have some that I think that has a hole through. Don't you? You could actually sew it on there if you prefer. And some I think are magnetic. I think that's the thing, is they have different kinds of labels. So you buy them in what they call label packs. That way, if you're going to do things outside or if you're using them more for food or...
I would go to the Apple store and ask for the Way Around label.
Well, you go to wayaround.com and actually buy the labels. But right, you would go to Apple Store and get the app called Way Around and install that on your phone.
Wayaround.com?
Yes, wayaround.com.
And it's Around, A-R-O-U-N-D?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Way Around, like find your way around, yes. So I don't know. I almost think the pen friend is easier in a way, but...
Yeah, I love the pen friend.
If you have the pen friend, I don't really think you need Way Around unless, like I said, you have extreme temperatures, people with big yards and buildings, I think people have used them in, and they put the stickers on different doors or other, and you can walk up and tell what room that is. If you have a pen friend, you may not really need it.
Okay, Marion?
Say, I have labels that I put on my clothes, and they are laundry proof, and I have labels that are magnetic that I can use on cans, labels, you know, that have holes in them. In other words, pen friend has all different kinds of labels, but you're not aware of it unless you look specifically for that type of label wherever it is that you're purchasing your pen friend.
Well, thanks for sharing that, because I bought it a long time ago, and at that point pretty much all they had were the sew-on labels. I love the magnetic ones. You can put it on a can, and then when you open it up, you can pop it off of there and put it on something else. Or
Gloria?
Yeah, I just heard him say magnetic. I was just going to say I have a pen friend, and what I have done is attach the little sticky round pen friend labels to little magnets. In fact, you know, you can get these magnets free when people are advertising their businesses, and I just cut them to the shape of the pen friend label, and I use those on my magnetic. Also, what I like to do with my pen friend labels is I like to put them on index cards. And especially when I want to do food in the freezer, because I can put the food into a Ziploc bag, stick an index card inside that Ziploc bag, or I'll put a hole through the index card with a rubber band and around the food product, depending on what it is. So, you know, with a little bit of imagination and ingenuity, the pen friend labels can be used on just about anything.
How much do those labels cost? Way Around could get expensive.
They're a lot cheaper than the Way Around. Way Around's like $1 a piece. Pen friend, you know, it's like about 10, 15 cents a piece. There's a huge difference in price.
Wow, that's really come a long way. I would, at this point, I would say the pen friend would be the preferred choice.
With my pen friend, Now, when I order the little disc, that's all I get is, do I supposed to ask for different shapes and sizes? Mine is just like a little circle, but is there any different sizes?
I believe someone, Shelly, said they were in the independence market, so maybe giving them a call. Maybe they have the different ones there.
I got mine from Maxi Aids. They have a tendency to be somewhat pricey.
I heard you talking about the little plastic labels that you can actually put Braille on. Or you could put a, you might be able to write with a marker on them, I'm not positive, that have little holes on either end, and they've got a rubber band or little elastic that kind of toggles through that little hole, and you can wrap it around different stuff. I am familiar with those kind of labels. I'd call the independent market. That'd be the best thing.
So the young lady who said, you know, that she gets hers from Maxi Aids. Do you get them at different sizes?
When I first got my pen friend, okay, I had different sizes in there. I had a magnetic one, about four of those, six long ones, like paper labels, so to speak. And then I had the ones that you were talking about. I like clothes, and I like to be able to tell what it is I'm wearing. So I went into Maxi Aids, and that's when they told me about the freezer labels. And they told me about the clothing labels. They offered the options, the others.
You can do it probably through the independence market. You can also probably do it through independent living aids, because Maxi Aids tends to be more expensive.
Yep, they do.
Independence market is different than independence living, right?
Yes. If you call the National Center for the Blind, independence market is one of your choices. Get three. And the trick there is to, if they don't answer, to leave a message. So did anybody cook chicken or fish last night?
What was the fish again, Judy? Do you remember? It was a salmon?
Cod.
What did she put on it?
Lemon pepper, some garlic.
And paprika. I love asparagus and broccoli. Because I take warfarin, I'm supposed to be careful. If I eat it, then I'm supposed to adjust my warfarin.
Vitamin K, right, Judy?
Yes, it's vitamin K.
That's the problem.
There's an interaction.
Yeah, because warfarin is going to thin it, and vitamin K is going to thicken it.
Boy, so many things you have to remember.
So that's why I mostly don't eat it, and I love it.
One of my favorites lately has been Brussels sprouts.
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah, you roast them in the oven. Roast they're them awesome. In the oven.
Garlic, not in my house.
Olive oil, cauliflower.
If you jazz them up, then they're okay.
As far as Brussels sprouts, I had a piano teacher at the School for the Blind who said that they look like tonsils and they taste like adenoids.
Collards.
Collards are good.
Now, I'm from Idaho. I never heard of a collard in my life. And I really like them. I think they're good.
As long as they're not gritty, you got to wash them real good, right?
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Shelley, I noticed when during your presentation, when you were talking about department stores, they were all Southern.
Dillard's in Missouri, or there used to be. That's not Southern. Talbot's used to be in Denver, and then I thought they left.
Those are expensive stores, but they're nice. They've got good quality things.
Nordstrom Rack has stuff greatly discounted prices. Thanks to Nordstrom Rack, I own my own pair of Jimmy Choo's because they were 80% reduced in price. Jimmy Choo's, depending on what kind of books you read, they'll talk about that as a really high-end designer shoe.
Yeah.
Oh.
But these are the lower heeled. They're not spike or anything like that, but they're very comfortable for people my age. In the store, the box said that they were $800.
Ooh.
And I got them for $150. And the funny thing was that when I got them, they had one on their display. The other one was locked up in a counter, in a case someplace in the back.
So you say they're sparkly and all that?
Oh, yeah. These are very, very fancy.
Tony says I could buy a lot of beer with that money, too.
This is Jean. What I have found to be one of the most helpful stores in the Phoenix areas is Chico's. You go in and talk to the manager and say, I can't see. And they take you around the store and let you feel everything. And you tell them what you think you want. And then they put you in a dressing room and start bringing it in. Usually I have somebody there and I'll try it on and I'll say, what do you think? And if you develop the relationship with that personal shopper, but she's not, she's just one of the, I had a he one time, just one of the sales staff. But if you get that relationship and say, I'm depending on you to tell me if this looks good and if these go together, don't sell me something I'm here to buy. But I only need things that look together because I will give the store credit or their undue credit, whatever it is. They have been extremely helpful. I've done the same at Nordstrom, and Nordstrom is higher end, higher price. And what I found with Nordstrom is that they have changed their business model and they don't have the inventory in their stores. And so they depend on you seeing it. And if you like it, they'll get you the right size and color and send it to you. But it's become a high-end mail order house. Their personal shoppers are also very good, so you really need to make an appointment.
Yes, you do. I'm sorry to hear that about Nordstrom, because I might like it, but it may look terrible on me. And if they don't have it in my size, I don't know how I would know.
That's why I've kind of stayed away from Nordstrom. I guess I'd have to be pretty familiar with what I'm shopping for. But right. That's what I tell the Chico's people too. Whoever said they want something that is age-appropriate and yet fashionable, but some of the stuff is, it's fashionable this month, but it looks like crap next month. You really have to develop that trust relationship. And I usually find it works better with an older salesperson.
Those seniors are worth something.
They don't have to be seniors. If they're 50, 30,
hey, there's
40,
some cool 70-year-olds.
Oh, there are, but most of them aren't trying to wear mini skirts.
Some of the more experienced clerks are better. They seem to follow your taste line a little better than others.
Mm-hmm. And I think we also have to make it a little bit fun for them.
Can
you imagine wearing that? Oh, who would put that on? I mean, that feels ugly. I hope it looks better than it feels or whatever. And not to be afraid to ask about the price and also say, nope, thanks for showing it to me. I'm not interested.
It's interesting when we were doing Shelley's segment and also yesterday with the other segment with about clothing and dressing and things like that. With Liz, we talked about confidence with people that are giving you the right answers and things like that. Well, there's somebody on this call and I sent her a text and I was at my grandson's house and they were playing with me and my granddaughter and they put like pretend, like they're making eggs and they're making bacon or whatever. They put pretend eggs through my glasses so that they look like my eyeballs. And I had something on my head, like an elephant hat or something. I had things on my ears. They had face painted me. And my granddaughter was with me. And my friend said, boy, Emmy's grown. Nothing about me. And I look like an idiot. But anyway, thank you, Jen.
Friends will get you every time. Flip phones are back. They're actually becoming like a retro kind of thing I've seen advertisements for it.
I knew if I waited long enough.
Tony here. That is a new thing going on. People are actually, what they're doing is, rather than using their phone as their device for accessing the internet, they'll just have a little iPad or an iPad mini, or have a second device for that and use a flip phone for making the calls. Especially older folks that don't want to get into new technology and things like that, but they still want to be kind of in the loop. They'll get an iPad, and there's all kinds of ways you can use an iPad to connect to the internet. If you're home, of course, to Wi-Fi, but even while you're out, I have a hotspot on my phone, so I use my phone as a hotspot, so I connect my iPad to the internet that way, and it works great, especially with 5G now. It works really well. So if someone doesn't want to struggle with a phone, because the phone is very important, you may want to have a flip phone just for your calls so that you don't have to struggle when you need to just do something simple like make a phone call.
Can you do texting with these flip phones?
Yes, you can do texting as well. And some of them most of them now are accessible. There's some new alternatives now that work even better than just a plain flip phone that do the job and give you some texting and email options and color identifier or something like that on it.
That's what my blind shell has, but I don't know how to do it.